Well, tonight, guys, I'm looking forward to sharing with you. For the football guys, some of you, you tuned into chapel. If you guys may, this is a little bit of a repeat for you, but as I was thinking and praying and seeing what would be good to share to start this week off, to start the meeting off with Athletes in Action, there was some, really the chapel I did this past Saturday just kept coming to my mind because it hits where we're at right now. As followers of Christ and societies and things that are going on. So that's what we're going to look at. So if you have your Bible or app on your phone, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 13. 4 through 13. Jeremiah, which is in the Old Testament, chapter 29, verses 4 through 13. And what I want to share with you tonight as we look at this is what does it mean to live by faith and not fear? How do we live by faith and not fear? And as we look at this, we're going to see that God taught the nation of Israel some tremendous sayings when they were in exile. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I just wanted you to think through that. What does it mean to live by faith and not by fear? Because usually we have a choice, even every day that we wake up. Am I going to be fearful or am I going to live by faith and believe some things that are true? And so before we get started to anything else, let me just pray for us and then we'll read the scripture. Father God, thank you for this time to be together. Thank you for each one who's on this call tonight. And I pray, oh Father God, that we would just hear from you, that you would speak to our hearts, that we might grow in our faith and come to understand you better. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things, guys, before we get started, you'll hear me say this throughout the semester. One of the things about Athletes in Action that we want to promote and look at, one is a community, which I believe you've seen and heard a little bit about tonight for those who have been involved. But also, I just don't want us to think of this meeting or this organization as a religious organization, but really this organization is about having a relationship with Christ. Not just being a religious activity, but what does it mean to have a relationship with God? And how does that affect my academics, my athletics, my relationships? How do I really live out my faith outside of just a Bible study time or going to church or going to a meeting? What does it mean to do life with Christ? And that's kind of where we go and we look at the scripture and learn lessons to see what that looks like. So as we turn to this, I'm going to read the scripture first, beginning in verse 4 of chapter 29. It says this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, and they may bear sons and daughters, multiply and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on his behalf. For it is welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Listen closely to verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, for not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. And so as we look at this scripture, I just want to give you a little backdrop of what's taking place. The nation of Israel had been through a rebellious period of basically saying we believe what God says, but then they say we don't believe what God says, and they had rebelled against who he is and what he had done for them. So he had allowed the empire of Babylon to come in and conquer them. And they took many of the people back to this foreign land. And so it'd be like this. An invading army comes in, and they take you away almost 700 miles away from your home, everybody you knew, the language you speak, everything about you that was good, that you were familiar with, a new religion, a new face, a new language, it would be chaotic. That's what has happened to the people who are receiving this letter from Jeremiah. They are living in uncertain times. which I know we can relate to right now, especially with COVID, and it can cause such anxiety, such unknowns, such uncertainty, fear. But you know, a lot of things in life do the same thing. A lot of things in life still cause us stress. It can be athletics, it can be academics, it can be relationships, it can be our sports, it can be coaches, right? So what do we do with all that? In the midst of the chaos, there's some lessons we can learn from the scripture, because God never changes. And some things he tells these people to do is what we're going to look at. And so really, the prophet Jeremiah, he talks about three kinds of people here. He addresses them. The first one I want to look at are those with no hope. And we see that in verses 4-6. Again, these people had lost everything but their lives and what they could carry with them when the invading army took them away. And so as he is addressing them, one of the first things he tries to do is turn their tragedy into triumph. And that's what we need to look at this. The hard times or this uncertainties of, you know, many of you coming into school as freshmen, this is not what you thought your freshman year was going to look like. It's what none of us thought this fall would look like, even back in the winter when sort of all this hit. But here we are. But the thing I want you to see and the thing that they learned through this is God is still in control and God still has a plan, even though we may not understand that plan. And so again, in verse 4, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles, those people who are hurting, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." And he says, "Build houses, live in them, plant gardens." He basically says, wherever I placed you, you do life. Wherever I placed you, you still follow me. Even though you may not be in your homeland, you're in a foreign land, you're in uncertain times, trust me. Follow me. I still have a plan. And he even says to pray for the city that you're in. Pray for those who have captured you. In essence, he's saying pray for your enemies. And so one of the ways we can get through our hard times is praying for those who we perhaps feel have put us in those hard times. Because it turns our heart away from mistrusting into trusting God. So he is teaching them a lesson to trust him. You see, a lot of times people had a false understanding, especially during this time period, that God had boundaries. So God's boundary was just the nation of Israel. And so when he went out of that land boundary into Babylon, he had no power. But as you see the story unfold, he continues to show his people that he loves them, he's still in control, and he's still God, even in the foreign land. And that's one of the things I want to challenge you guys with, is he speaks to those with no hope. He's speaking to them to give them hope. And so I want to speak to you tonight to give you hope, not in me, not in athletes in action, but in Christ himself. Because in Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the foundation. And that's what, again, God was revealing himself and teaching these people this lesson. So it's a lesson we can learn. But he also says, don't believe those who give a false hope. You see, there were some false teachers coming in saying, hey, this is going to end soon. I've had a word from the Lord, it's going to end in a few years. But God said, no, I didn't talk to them. So you don't need to listen to them. You need to listen to me and what I'm saying. And again, it's a good understanding at the place that we're all in is continually look to the Lord, look to his word, and let that be the foundation for our life. You see, some of those people were telling the people in captivity what they wanted to hear and not what they needed to hear. And it's a lot easier for us to hear what we want to hear than what we need to hear sometimes, right? I mean, all of you are athletes, you understand from the coach, and it's not good when a coach gets on to you. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes it even makes you mad. But you also understand in most cases, if a coach quits coaching you, that's when you're really in trouble. But see, the great thing about our God is he doesn't quit coaching us. And that's what he is doing here. He's coaching, so to speak, in our terminology, the team. And he's saying, I have a plan. I have a purpose. Don't believe the false teachers. Don't believe those who are giving you a false hope. Believe in me who gives you real hope. And that's what I want to challenge you guys with, to continually ask questions. Come to the Lord, even during this time of uncertainty, because he is a certain God. He has a foundation. He is the foundation. So, again, You see, false hope leads to destruction, and that's what the Lord was telling his people. Don't have a false hope. But then again, he says, be on mission where you're at. In verse 7, we see that again demonstrated. It says, but seek the welfare or the good of the city where I've sent you. And he says, to pray to the Lord on its behalf. So that's another thing. You guys are right here at this time. It's not by accident. It's not by circumstance. But I really believe it's by God's plan and his providence. So there's a purpose for you here. There's a purpose where he has placed you on the team he has placed you. There's a purpose where he has placed you in the classes he has placed you. So what you need to do is say, God, what is my purpose? And how do I live here for you, just as you told your people to live for you, even though they were in a place that was not their home? And so there's great things to learn. Walk with God now. Live out your faith where God has placed you. Seek the welfare of those around you. Seek the good of those around you. You see, God wants you to have an impact where he has placed you. And you have the opportunity to do that, no matter whether you're a freshman or a 50-year senior. He has a purpose and a plan. And then we come to verses 10 through 14 as we walk through this sort of in closing. Again, it says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Again, beautiful verse in verse 11, but oftentimes people will read verse 11 without the context. These guys are not in a good place when he says this. But he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for well-being and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of you tonight. He has a plan that he's helping you. It wasn't his plan to drop my glasses. But he wants to help you to really mature and to grow where he's planted you. And so that's what he's telling them. But I want you to notice, he's speaking to those who have true hope. He says, first of all, listen, in my timing, it will end. In God's timing, this COVID will end. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to dare predict that and say, thus saith the Lord, but God knows. And so that gives us hope, whatever that looks like, because my hope is in God. It's not in a timetable. But there was a definite hope. He says, in 70 years, I will return. I will deliver you and I will bring you back home. So there was hope in what God's word says. And that's what I want you to hear tonight. There's always hope in what God and his word tells us. So the question is, will I listen to what God is saying in his word? So as we look at this, you see, biblical hope is not founded on a wish, but it's founded on a certain future based on God's faithfulness. Listen to that again. Biblical hope is not founded on a wish, but on a certain future based on God's faithfulness. Not man's faithfulness, but God's faithfulness. You see, no faith in the future, then there's no power in the present. Listen to that again. If there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. And that's what I want you to hear. There's faith in the future if you're a follower of Christ, if you have a relationship with God. There's faith in the future. And that gives me the ability to have the power to do what he's called me to in the present. And that's what he was telling his people who were in a bad situation, foreign land, foreign language, foreign religion. Everything is new to them. Everything they had has been left behind. But he says, because you have faith in me, there is power in the present to do what I've called you to do. And so there's power for each one of you to do what God has called you to do and what he's shown you to do right now because of who he is. And so as we look at this, what are some of the lessons that we can take from this message? One is this. He was telling his people that he was the same God in Babylon as he was in Israel. That he had no boundaries. He was the God who created it all. And you could not put him in a box. And he was showing that. He had taught them that. He had told them that. He had written it to them through and taught through his prophets. And now he was showing them that through this lesson. And also this, what does it mean to be God's people in an uncomfortable place? Because they were God's people in an uncomfortable place, the question I need to ask is, what does it mean for me to walk with God, or what does it mean for you to walk with God while you're in college? Sometimes it's uncomfortable because everybody else doesn't want to walk with God, but you do. But there are great rewards for that. The most importantly is just your growth and your understanding as a man or a woman. What does it mean to be the man or woman God has created me to be? There was a guy who gave me some great wisdom years ago. He said, Joe, if you walk with Jesus, you'll always get to your destination. And that's what he was teaching these in many ways. He was saying, walk with me in relationship with me, not as a God as a distance, but as a God that is close. Walk with me and I will take you to your destination, because it's the destination I have prepared for you. So in closing, this. First of all, they did not lose their identity in this foreign land. They discovered it. Because if you go back and really study the history, and I'm not going to go into that, they'd really lost their identity as followers of God because they had become followers of many gods. And that's the reason they were in the place they were in. So they didn't lose their identity by going to a foreign land. They actually discovered it. And so some of you on your spiritual journey, I believe this year, maybe this semester, or your time at Wake, you're really going to discover your identity in Christ. Not just in religion, but in a relationship. That's what they had discovered and were discovering. God was teaching them that he was personal. He wasn't distant. So listen again. God has a plan now for you. Walk in relationship with Christ. Seek to serve. Live out your faith where God places you, because God wants you to have an impact wherever he has placed you. Again, I remind you of the scripture in closing in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No doubt we live in some uncertainty around us. Things aren't normal of what we describe as normal, right? Even doing this is not what we had planned on doing at this time. But yet God has a plan. And Jesus Christ says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is a foundation that is unshakable. And that's what I want you to leave you with. In the days to come, trust in Christ as your foundation, even when the chaos is around you, because he never changes, even though things around us may and will change. And so guys, first I want to tell you this in closing. Some of you I haven't met yet, and I'm looking forward to, but I say this truly, I love you. I love you because Christ first loved me. I've walked down the path you've walked many, many years ago at Clemson as an athlete, coming in as a freshman, not knowing even which way to look. But yet someone doing my job come up and said, hey, Joey, let me help you. Let me help you live out your faith while you're in college. And it radically changed my life. In many ways, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here. And so we were here to help you. My wife, Kim, is not here. She's taking care of my daughter tonight and my dog and my 17-year-old. And Caitlin and I and the servant team, we're here to serve you, to help you, to come along, be your cheerleader, but most importantly, to point you to Christ, because he's got the answers when we don't. So I'm going to turn it kind of back over to Caitlin now, and we're going to close out real quick. Let me close out with prayer and then just a few announcements at the end, and then we'll go from there. All right? So let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one who's come tonight to this meeting. Thank you for the ability to do it. And I pray for each one who's tuned in. I pray they didn't hear from me, but I pray that they hear from you. Thank you that you are the God that never changes. And when you say you have a plan for us, a plan for welfare, which that word welfare literally means peace, that you have a plan of peace for us and a plan that is good in the future. We thank you that you are that kind of God. And we praise you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Walk with them, bless them, and direct them as they start classes tomorrow. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
So I'm just going to kind of reiterate what I mentioned earlier, just that, as Joe said, and all these other people said, that we're here for y'all, and feel free to reach out to us through email, through our phone numbers. I can actually, after I'm done talking, I'll send the email and my phone number, our phone numbers, in the chat in here. And we'd love to get to know y'all. And follow us on Instagram, because that's where a lot of our stuff is going to be posted. That way you can contact us. If you have prayer requests, you can go to our Instagram and fill out a form in our campsite bio. But anyways, yeah, we would love to get to know you, love to be praying for you. And with that, also just feel free to hang out. We're done now, so if you want to go, you can, but also if you want to hang out and just chat with people on the screen or with us, ask questions, feel free. So thank you all for coming if you're leaving now, but if you don't want to, just hang out for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. Hopefully we'll go back same time, same place next week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe.
I always want to.